Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. It's Friday, January 14th, 2022. It's our show number 655 today as we march towards show number 700. Now, we have a very special broadcast coming up. We have amazing guests joining us at about 7:30 Eastern Time, 6:30 Central. Of course, it's Harlem Will time. He's got a lot to share, all that matters. And then at 8 o'clock, listen, grab your coffee and get ready, because this gentleman was the very, very last assistant for superstar icon from the Supremes. We're talking about the late Mary Wilson. So he really uncovers all the details. He was there when her body was discovered. He's the one who discovered her when she had passed away. You don't want to miss his personal firsthand account in terms of what Mary's last days were like. So this is a very, very special broadcast of the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. So stay tuned. Stay tuned.
Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo Events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Can't take my eyes off of you.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have 2 little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies. And we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Hi, I'm Jossie from Jossie's All Natural. Have you been struggling with keeping your natural hair healthy or desire to achieve substantial hair growth? Then Jossie's All Natural is here to help you. My natural creams, conditioners, lotions, hair mists, balms, shampoos, and detanglers are gentle enough for the whole family and all hair types. Not only do I provide natural hair products, I also give step-by-step techniques to ensure healthy hair in a pure and gentle fashion, from roots to ends. come on and visit me at www.joshisallnatural.com. That's JOSEYSAUNATURALE.com for a true natural hair experience like you've never had before.
All right, it's Fan Day Friday, January 14th of 2022. It's our show number 655, that's right. And what the digital diary is all about, it's given a few more details on some of the wonderful, wonderful topics that we are covering on this very broadcast today of the Hair Radio Morning Show. So I am super excited to have you guys with us. Coming up mid-show, of course, we are super happy to bring to you Harlem Will, the Harlem Will Report, in which he covers a lot of what's happening today, all that matters. You don't want to miss his report. It's about 7:30 in the morning. And then at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 o'clock Central, it's really our big lead-in story for the day. We're talking to the gentleman who was the very, very last assistant to superstar music icon. We're talking about Mary Wilson. She passed away about a year ago, and this gentleman is going to tell us the first-hand accounting. He was the very gentleman who found her after she had passed. So that's how we all found out about it. So we want to hear from him. You will on today's broadcast. It's the very first of a two-part series on the last days of Mary Wilson, of the Supremes. You guys know them well. We're paying tribute behind the scenes to the all-girl groups of the 60s. Mary was one of them. And with her super top group with Motown and the Supremes. So in addition to the late Ronnie Spector, who she just passed away, Ronnie Spector. So we're paying tribute to these amazing, iconic ladies. And we just want you to kind of, you know, take their music legacy with you. That's why they did all these wonderful things and work so hard in this industry. And so much more to come today. So folks, stay with us. We've got a lot more to get to on today's broadcast. So thanks so much. Stay with us.
Hi everybody, this is Queen Tree and I'm shouting out this Hair Radio Show with
Terry. Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. With me today is a very special guest. You guys know her. She's been with us before. The Hair Radio Morning Show is proud to welcome back CEO of UBC-TV, Ms. Peggy Dodson. Welcome back to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Thank you very much, Carrie. How are you?
I'm doing great. It is my pleasure to welcome you back in 2020 to this wonderful broadcast and to bring somebody who, you know, we're doing a special right now on women in business and who else besides the legendary Peggy Dodson to talk to about UBC-TV.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Now, what can we tell folks what UBC, for those who may have been under a rock for these last decades or so, but what can you tell us about UBC-TV?
Well, I think I can break it down into one sentence, if I can remember. Well, UBC is, I guess technically, you could say we're an urban broadcasting company. And UBC is a media technology broadcast company that creates original urban lifestyle content, goods, and services. That's distributed over multiple platforms globally. That's the basis of what it really is, in a word.
Why is it so important to have something like UBC TV these days?
Well, I know for one reason is our culture. We need to be able to tell our own stories, and those stories need to be told by us. Some years ago, the only people that were telling our stories were not of our race or culture. And as the more the world gets multi-platform, the more culture is important. And we've known for many years that that African Americans, we have over $1 trillion buying power, and that's growing, and that we are the creators of the world, and people follow us. We over-index in video, we over-index, we purchase everything, we over-index in everything, but yet we're the least represented in reference to who we really are, and people have basically painted us as one-dimensional. Although today things are better, I must say that some of my colleagues are working a lot, and some of the studios have opened up more to accepting us to be on screen, whether it's the small screen or the big screen. But there's so much more still to be done, because the problem is controlling the narrative. We still are not controlling the narrative, which means that our stories are not being told, although there are more of us in front of the camera and more of us behind the camera. The stories are still not being told.
Well, Peggy, why do you think they're not being told the way we wish to tell them, even to this day where, as you pointed out, things have gotten a teensy bit better, but why are we still not controlling the narrative?
Well, because the industry is controlled by white males. And it's a well-known fact. I mean, I'm in so many meetings. I meet with, the Googles, the Facebooks, the companies that I'm always around, AT&Ts, and I have deals with most of them. But the issues that they also recognize is not that they're recognizing the issue that a lack of diversity. When you don't have people of color at the table, you have the wackiest stuff that comes out. We've seen in some of the commercials that have been on, we're saying, like I think it's, what company was it that had the blackface, Prada? I mean, you created
right.
Blackface. Who was at the table to decide
exactly.
that? And they actually greenlit it.
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
Which makes no sense. Exactly. And I have to jump in because I know exactly what you mean. Here in New York, I watched, we just kind of wrapped in February, it's Black History Month, and they show, tell stories, little on the news, they show a little 5-second clip about, usually it's, kind of textbook black hero type thing. And they'll talk about it for a few seconds. And it's usually where they're totally white anchors talking about it, which is okay. But then I noticed, since I watched the news all the time, that they kept retelling the same clip, showing the same clip over and over. No one bothered to come up with different clips about different black heroes. And I said, wow, they're just trying to capitalize on it. And not even making a real contribution to their own broadcast about the contributions of blacks and history. And this is something, and it just reminds me of what you're saying about having a seat at the table. Having a
exactly.
seat at the table. And to me, I think like UBC TV, it's having the whole darn dining room. I think this is the thing that I'd like to see. And as you so eloquently put it, with things that are changing, and they are changing slowly, and we have folks who are looking more and more like us in front of the camera, but and some behind the camera, but it really needs to be on a corporate level, I think. How do you weigh in on that?
Well, yeah, I totally agree with you. It needs to be more on a corporate level. You're right, where there are more people of color on corporate boards, where you have, I mean, for instance, venture capital, women, period. Let's go just say women. There's what, 0.1% of women on projects are being funded by venture capitalists. And so, you know, the 99.9% of them are male. And, you know, just having more people of color at the table and more women of color at the table in these corporations and to be able to green light things, to be able to say there are a handful of women out here now that are green lighting. They're getting deals at Netflix and things of that nature. But we're so far behind still. It's like the weight of the world is on a handful of people's shoulders.
And it shouldn't be like that. Exactly. You would think this is a no-brainer because when we are faced on television, like I have so many of these amazing stories to share with you guys today. One that kind of jumps out at me is, you know, the diversity in my own company at Hair Radio LLC. And I have folks who represent the rainbow. We have Caucasian colleagues and associates here. We have African Americans. We have folks who are outside of the country. We have folks over in Ghana who support us and who promote us out there. But one of my favorite times, I had one of my colleagues on who's not an African American, and I remember showing the flyer for our big Hair Nation Expo events. We're going to talk about that as well down the road some. But I was showing the flyer where we have these beautiful three ladies who are African-American, so it looks on the picture, in different shades. And we do that so everybody can identify. And it's gone over very well in the black community. But the colleague, again, who's not African-American, said to me, is it possible we could have, instead of that, maybe she said it delicately as you could put it, but could we put a Caucasian face on there instead of the three black ladies, I guess? I forget exactly how she worded it because she really tiptoed around that. But yeah, she didn't mean any harm. Just in her world, she was never used to looking at so many black images. And
right.
So to her, this was like, you know, can you put something, you know, a white person on or whatever the case might be. I forget how she said it. Again, I wish I could remember. I was kind of in consternation. I was taken back for a moment, taken aback at what she had asked me because I thought to myself, I was very polite, but I said, you know, I wake up every morning. I turn on the TV. I'm bombarded with images of folks who don't look like me.
Mm-hmm.
All day, every day, night and day,
right,
month after month, for year after year, for decade after decade.
Yeah,
and
true.
You can't look at a flyer for 5 seconds with black folks? I really wanted to say that. And she's probably listening to this broadcast right now. Well, you know who you are. But I just crack up at it because I said, you mean to tell me you can't stand to see it but for 5 seconds? And I have to live my entire life, you know, looking at images. Not that we are against anybody, but it's just the fact that we're all trying to live together and get along. So the key is to be fair, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Hair Radio, and I love the Hair Radio Morning Show because we can point out some of those differences and some of those things. And it's not to the degree where we're trying to alienate or xenophobia or anything like that. We're all here with a similar purpose called life and trying to lead our way and navigate our way through this thing. And that's what I'm here to say. So it still cracks me up to that degree.
Yeah, it's just about equality, actually.
Equality.
It's just about equality and being just and being fair and being even, and being reflective of the country. You know, even now you have the formula casting doesn't work anymore. They still do it to a degree where you have one black person or one Latino, Asian, I mean, gosh, very, very, very seldom, even though in the Academy Awards you had the big winner this season was an Asian a film, but
right.
Very seldom you have, even with the newscasters, you can see the local news. You may have one African-American anchor, and you may have the top anchor may be a white male, that's the way they do it. It's 1 to 3, 1 to 4, or maybe 2. Every now and then you get 2, depending on, I guess, their demographics. But, you know,
well,
right
I
now
think it also depends on the time
there.
Of day that you might.
True.
Yeah, there's
mm-hmm.
still some, like you say, I love what you say, there's so much work to be done, because I watch a lot of the anchor news locally here in New York City. And what I do notice is that it's exactly what you said, and sometimes it's even worse because you don't even have – there's no representation with a black male anchor lead, or so very rare.
It's rare.
And then, you know what I mean? And then you're not even seeing a real representation of even the African-American experience, because what you'll see are folks who are just one complexion. You never see the real rainbow. And you certainly don't see natural hair being reflected. What you see are basically the same cookie-cutter reporter styles, straight hair to the shoulder or something like that. That's all that you see. It's the same old,
same old.
And you can tell, you can absolutely tell that there is nobody black sitting at that table. And even when they talk about black stories and reporting things, you can still tell by the narrative, by what's being reported, and the angle, and the you can still tell. You get a chill, like, oh, did they just say that? And that kind
because
of
the
thing.
Editors, because the editors,
the
producers,
right.
are not people of color.
That's
and
right.
I
feel
have
it, right?
Yeah, and you know, and if they are some, for instance, I won't bring up any names of networks,
no.
but and because I have friends that work at them, but you know, there
right.
are some. I have one colleague that told me, even with people who are of color, African American, they use the same people over and over again, which is very boring because you get create the same opinion, and it doesn't diversify,
true.
Even to the same black voices, you know, like these are the only people you know. You can't pull somebody else
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
And one of my white colleagues told me, and she said, Peggy, I'm apologizing to you. I said, you don't need to apologize to me. You need to apologize to everyone else. But she says, what happens is that sometimes things move so fast, they don't think about bringing anyone else in. They only go to the pot that they know. And they get people that they're familiar with, and it's a very incestuous business.
Exactly.
Because people only, you know, for instance, you see comedy sitcoms and you see Kelsey Grammer. How many shows was he on? I mean, Kelsey Grammer. Oh my God, 10 shows.
Listen, and it's so funny you say that. Not to pick on him, but I just happened to be watching Patricia Heaton's new show on
mm-hmm.
Thursday night, and who pops up at the end? Kelsey Grammer.
There you go.
I say
like
to folks out there
rash.
That what happens is it seems like other communities can kind of fail forward. They can have one show after another that kind of gets shut down or is not a hit, and they keep on going on and on and on. They just get so many additional and extra opportunities where we have to fight and do something amazing just to get half a one. But I love what you said, and let me just tell everybody again. Guys, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and my very special guest with us today is Ms. Peggy Dodson. Now, you guys know her. She is the CEO of UBC-TV, and we're so excited to welcome you back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Good morning, Ms. Peggy Dodson.
Good morning. I'm here.
Yes, you are. Now, listen, I wanted to jump in. You mentioned something a little while ago about equality, and I thought it was
mm-hmm.
the perfect lead-in to talk about hair equality. I've just launched a new site, hairequality.com, which kind of takes you to our Hair Nation Expo platform, but it talks about the diversity and how important there's something out there that we're going to get into just a tad called the Crown Act. And so hair equality makes everybody part of that conversation, like you said, about seats at the table. That's what this is all about. We want to recognize everybody's hair and not let folks use our hair in the black community to be discriminated against. And I wanted to get your thoughts on hair equality and what you think. You know, we've all, you know, folks, especially natural hair folks, and even those who are not, our hair has been very important to us, and folks have used that to separate us. And what's your take on it?
Well, it's like Samson and Delilah. What happened with Samson? Mm. He cut his hair and he lost his powers. Mm. So hair to us is part of our cultural expression, and it's part of our power, and it's part of who we are. And, you know, I had a friend who has locks, and he had to cut his locks. He got a new job. And he said, I'll cut my hair because they don't, you know, I have to cut my locks. They don't want that. And it's just a way of making people lose their identity and fit into something that has no soul, no creativity, no nothing. And when you fall for that, into that no soul, no nothing, you are then dictated to be someone that you are not. And, I mean, black folks have been always, we just see our hair everywhere. I mean, from locks to all types of braids and everything, hair expressions. You know, I love the hair shows because I love the competitions, the creativity that's created. And I feel that is an expression of who we are, and it should always be welcome. And I'm so glad and so happy about the Crown Act because, you know, no one should be penalized because they have locks. I have locks. And, you know, because I am a creative.
Can't they just keep their fingers out of our hair? I mean, my goodness. Leave
our
hair alone.
I know. The hair is very powerful because it's your crown. It's your crown. Your crown is your loyalty, your heritage. And you know, this goes all the way back to, you know, slavery and them bringing us here and totally taking anything and everything away from us that identifies who we are as a culture or race of people. I always say culture, you know, our culture. And they had to do that in order to control and you know, defame. But what's happening now is that that's not flying anymore. We're in a new era of acceptance and creativity and cultural. I think we're in a cultural revolution.
Exactly.
Where all the stuff that used to be is no more. We're not tolerating the way that things used to be. And it's a great change. It's a wonderful change. And that's why I keep my hair in locks, because I want people not to know, you know, I mean, afros, locks, I mean, japros. You can go to Japan, and what they call, they wear afros over there. They're called japros. Japros, like Japan afros.
Wow.
People follow our culture globally, whether it's hair or what have you. And so why should we cut our hair when that's our power? I want little girls and little boys and people who are executives to know that, yes, you can be professional and wear your suit, your heels, or whatever, and your hair could be locks, it could be afro, it could be whatever. It's just an expression of who you are, which is you have to bring yourself into the room anyway.
Exactly. And I think, Peggy, you're absolutely right. It also seems that, to me, what folks who are not in this community just don't understand. And they don't care to understand it. They just want to, you know, I don't know what, I can't even make any sense of it. But the thing is, where there was a teenage boy and he was, you know, that wasn't even allowed to march in a graduation because of his hair and all this kind of crazy, it's so crazy and bizarre that it just doesn't even make any sense. And the only thing I can kind of maybe say is that in these other communities, maybe their hair just doesn't mean anything to them. It's not that cultural deep resonance with them, and perhaps that's it. I don't know. But what I am here to say is that, and to reiterate what you said, and we cannot tolerate that going forward. This Crown Act, which is really creating a respectful and open world for natural hair, and that's really what this is about, and you have these states in New Jersey just being like the third in the nation at this time. I think there's a fourth. There are a few states where it's pending, and this is where they have passed these bills to not discriminate against folks, especially for natural hair, but you know, using the hair as a way to separate and treat people in a derogatory fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to keep an eye on it right here on the Hair Radio. We wouldn't be the Hair Radio Morning Show if we didn't, Miss Peggy Dodson. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of little girls, and you mentioned this earlier, you know, just to even ask you, because you've been really doing some amazing things at UBC-TV and being a CEO, you already set an example for young women. But what can you tell us? Like, if you have to share advice, what advice would you share with young girls out there about being a CEO or whatever you think they can do?
Well, my advice is never give up on your dreams. You know, you dream something, and people have to understand that you know, the head of Google and IBM and Microsoft, all those companies were created in someone's mind. And then they were created some in garages, Facebook. All these guys worked out of garages and small spaces. They didn't just pop up. And everything is a process. It doesn't go a straight line. It will go up and it will go down. But you have to believe in your dreams, and you have to believe in yourself and never, ever give up. One of my mentors always told me, he says, never, ever give up. You don't ever give up, because that last swing of the bat that you decide not to swing could be the home run that you were looking, you know, to hit. And
right.
If you believe in something and you created it, that's what life is all about, creativity. You know, even,
absolutely.
You know, Everything. Just don't give up on your dreams. You can be whatever you want to be. Don't allow anyone else to determine who you are. You determine who you are. That's between you and the Creator, the Most High. I've had people tell me so many discouraging things on my path. I've been on this path for a while, and as you know, Carrie, we're like sister and brothers, you know.
We have,
you know,
been
we've been
always, yes.
You sometimes you have to make a way, you have to find a way, and you know, because people actually
and we lived in the
you.
Same house at some point, so
yes,
we really
I know,
are. Like
I know we're like sisters and brothers.
We
know?
Really are,
and you never know how many people really have faith in you and how many people are looking up to you. I mean, there's been times where I said, oh God, I got to give this up. I can't do this anymore. And, you know, and someone like, you know, a teenager would call and say, oh, Miss Dodson, you're such an inspiration to me. My God, I just want to, and I said, no, I can't, I've got to keep going.
And you pick yourself up and you roll on. That's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Wow. But you know, you just have to keep at it.
Well, who are some of the folks, Peggy, who have influenced you? You are an influence to many other young women. But who are some of the folks who've made an impression on you?
My mother.
Wow.
My mother. She's at the top of the food chain. My mother was so amazing. She's in heaven now. And my dad, too.
Wow.
But my mom was just a powerhouse. She was an entrepreneur. She was a very spiritual being, mother of the church. She was a community activist. She was a healer. She was a negotiator. She was a financier. She was my mother. And, you know, I have sisters and brothers, and she was mama. But she balanced all of those things, and she was just so smart. She could do anything. But if I could be, you know, a third of what my mom was, then I feel I'm a success because she was awesome. And, you know, I look at other other women like Harriet Tubman. These are my role models. Harriet Tubman was just phenomenal. She was, if you don't know about Harriet Tubman, she was part of the CIA. Besides the Underground Railroad, she was, I don't know if they've told the story, but she was part of the CIA. She was a spy. And she helped recruit, people from the South to fight in the North, you know, because in the beginning, you know, the North is getting their butt kicked. And just a whole bunch of other things. She was fearless. She was very fearless. You know, Cicely Tyson, Aretha Franklin. These are the, you know, people, Billie Holiday. I go look at people from that era because those are the trailblazers that really kicked the doors in. And when they're at a time when, it was very hard on black women, you know, because it was very hard. We have it easier now, maybe harder in some senses, but, you know, we have it easier now. But the top of the food chain, my mother, she was just amazing. And she could sing, too. She was just amazing. And I love her to no end.
Well, it sounds like you mentioned about if you could just be a third of what your mother meant and how she still impressions and has made such a big impression on you and your family. I have to say, I think you've just nailed it and hit it out the park. I'm going to give you three thirds on that. I think that you, as you were describing all the wonderful gifts that your mother shared, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, my goodness, Peggy's describing herself. That's what I got. And
yeah.
I just want to say, and I know that, and I can say that, you know, you've been doing some amazing things. And for you guys out there who just tuned in, we've been having this awesome conversation. When Peggy comes to town, she brings it. And we're chatting today on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I wanted my first guest of this year to be Miss Peggy Dotson. She is the UBC TV CEO. And speaking of UBC TV, what are some of the programs that you guys are looking forward to bringing us?
Well, we've expanded our, Carrie, we've just taken off and expanded the whole programming grid with UBC. We are going into the connected TV realm this year, OTT. And if you don't know what that is, OTT is over the top, which is direct to consumer. And connected TV is sort of like the Roku's, where you have connected TV. You're not just watching broadcast or cable anymore. What's happening is that cable is it's ending because it's too expensive and cumbersome, and it has been a thorn in a lot of people of color's side who have wanted to get into the business of storytelling on a large scale because the certain powers that be were holding people back. And they did not want us to get it because it's expensive. What I'm in is expensive as it is. But, you know, to have $500 million to get into the cable industry, you won't own your own company. And henceforth, you don't own your stories. You can't tell those stories because you have a whiteboard of directors or people who have no connection with anything but culture dictating to you what you must and must and cannot, what you can and cannot put on the air. So in the world that we have it now with streaming, which is taking off, I guess television did not think that it was going to take over this much, and it's taken off because now everything's going to digital streaming, as you know, Carrie. And,
exactly.
So now we are able to, the playing field now is level. I can compete with anyone else out there. It's all about content is king and queen. And once you have the content, you have to have the distribution. I've been very, very blessed like I said, you have to stay in this game and not give it up. I've been at the right place at the right time. I've been able to cut deals, direct deals with Roku and Amazon Prime. We're going on Fire Stick. We're going on Android TV. We're doing a deal with Hulu. And I have a deal with Verizon right now, which gives me the ability to go international, linear. All the cable stations are going to digital cable. So we will also have our own, as you do with your hair radio show in your salon, which I'm sure we'll talk about, to be able to get into homes. Traditional TV is dying, has died.
Yes.
It has already died because people
right.
just don't want to, they can't sit in front of a cable channel, and people don't want to see the commercials. They don't pertain to them. I mean, I don't want to see a commercial about Geritol. I don't need Geritol.
Not
you know,
yet.
We
don't need it quite yet.
We don't need it. I'm never going to need it.
Exactly.
I have my herbal compounds. And so, you know, it's just that we don't need that type of, those type of commercials. So
exactly.
What digital technology does, it gives us the opportunity to identify who's watching, when they're watching, how much they're watching, and a whole bunch of other stuff. You have artificial intelligence and all of those kind of
AI.
Things coming into play, which is a two-edged sword, but it can be used for good in order to show people the right commercials and things that they want to see pertaining to their own lifestyle. And that's
what's
so great about that.
Well, I love what you said. Yes, because I remember when streaming kind of started. Streaming had a slow start. At first, there was a little bit of a – there was a separation between broadcast and streaming, and the streamers
mm-hmm. –
you know, it was almost like a stepbrother kind of thing for if you were streaming content. Streaming was not, and when I, just as a consumer, not even talking about it in a broadcasting level, I was like, well, this sounds just the same as a song I just played digital, so I mm-hmm. thought it was okay. I couldn't understand why the folks would look down at streaming at that time. So, you know, and as you have so eloquently put it, times have really changed, and the
mm-hmm.
streaming has really taken, you know, front and center. And so
well,
I'm really
proud. Well,
because now
it's broadcast quality. Yeah, everything now is HD and 4K, and it's broadcast. Now the video has caught up with, because before it was like spinning and lagging and things like that. I mean,
exactly.
People like Verizon live stream the Super Bowl. And you get a live broadcast. You get broadcast HD quality, same as it goes all across the board. Because what is happening now is that content is about content and the different screens. You may want to see it on your mobile. You want to maybe see it on your tablet. You may want to connect the TV, which is like Roku, which is what we're going on. And you know, you may want to see it on screen. Yeah.
We're always so much right there together.
Yeah,
I'm going to save our big thing for we'll tell you about it the next time we get together, and I'm going to fill in Miss Peggy right after this call. I'm loving this today and having this wonderful conversation. But you know what, Peggy, I have to also say one of the biggest things, the other big D in the room, of course, digital is critical and important. The other big D is demand. And being able to have, like you said, that control over what you watch and not just sit there and let folks just give you and tell you, but you get
mm-hmm.
to make that decision. So how does UBC TV feel about that, giving people that power?
Well, I feel great about giving the people the power. I mean, we have an iOS app coming out, and I want people to be able to get all content on as many platforms as possible. It's called TV Everywhere, and that started some time ago. And I was always embraced, you know, like you said, I was always, you know, I'm not tooting my horn, but I was one of the first three African Americans that was recognized in technology back in 2001. I was on the cover of Black Enterprise with two other sisters, and the story was Weathering the Storm, and we were three African American women in technology. And because then I always felt that technology and media could marry each other. And once they marry, then you have something special, because then the technology the stories can be told over different platforms and in ways that people want them, and then you can begin to monetize. Now a lot of the commercial ad inventory now is coming onto digital, you know, because, you know, companies want to get a ROI, better ROI, which is return on investment, for the money that they're spending on advertising dollars, which means they want to reach that coveted demographic, whether it's the ex-gen or the kids or African-Americans or Latinas or whom have you. But we over-index African-Americans, particularly black women, we over-index in video. So, and we make all the decisions. So a lot of the content and commercials really today are made for women, because women make the decisions in the household. We make decisions for the men. The men are out working. Some women are out working too, but both women still make the decision whether they're working or not, because they take care of the children. And so it has a lot to do with that.
Exactly. And the marketing folks out there have long known that they always target women with whatever it is that they're trying to push on the folks out there. But I have to say, Peggy, this is just the tip of the iceberg. And it's nice to see that, you know, that folks are kind of thrusting forward and making a little bit more inclusion and, you know, inclusivity out there, because that's what forces these folks to change in these corporations, as they see the dollars. And they know we make the dollars. Maybe they're not aware that we know that they know that we know. You know,
we're the tenth largest economy in the world.
It's
with the buying power.
That's right.
So, I mean, I think it's higher than that. I think it's eight. It's the eighth largest. Now, I'm saying African Americans. I'm not saying any other. I'm just saying, and then, you know, the Latinos follow us. And then, so you mean you have the fifth, the fifth largest economy in the world, or here? You know, so what I was saying about UBC in reference to content, you know, my goal is to create lifestyle content. Lifestyle content helps, it has legs, and it helps us to appeal to a wider demographic, all people. Because when you talk about lifestyle, I've always wanted to have a channel that has, you know, could tell different stories. You know, for instance, we have a new show called City Vines that we're rolling out. City Vines is our food and wine show. And about new restaurants, and we've been filming that. And one of the things I wanted to do was also to teach people, people of color, about wine, because we consume, when you look at the numbers, we consume 83% of all liquors, African Americans. So, you know, now we're becoming more interested in wine, because wine has been around since the beginning of time, and wine is also very good for you. So wine pairings and things of that nature, new restaurants, and then we have an auto show that talks about autos. We have a show called Urban Access, which is like urban red carpets and things like that. We have a Style and Beauty Cafe, which is all about fashion, of new designers and all that kind of stuff, and what's happening in the beauty world. And that's where you and I, we're going to make an announcement, I know soon.
Absolutely.
Are partnering together to do something very, very exciting.
Absolutely.
And I have a cannabis channel, which is all about the world of cannabis and hemp, because that is something that people need to know about from a business standpoint. I have sports, which is my namesake. I love sports, and, you know, I've done that for national TV, produced that. And we're delving into news. So we're delving into news because we need a more balanced voice. I'm tired of seeing the same old people doing the same old things, saying the same old opinions. And they're not talking to us or any people
exactly.
of color. And we need to get a real voice out here. And we have our music stuff, you know, UBC Jams and which is our small concert type stuff. We have going to be doing some new shows we have coming out, and you'll hear about those. But I'm really excited about the two things is our new shopping platform that we're rolling out called the Urban Home Shopping Network. And it is something like an urban QVC. It's a platform, but we're also going to be putting together a TV show that will feature all types of products and services for small businesses and entrepreneurs who can't get on the larger platforms and things like that. And
So I'm very excited about that. And we have one of our big shows is called the UBC Mixed Dance Show, which is my show that I created. It is the evolution of Soul Train. We're adding DJs, and we're having poppers and breakdancers and stuff. We have some auditions coming up this spring. If we can get past being under quarantine, which is really scary right now. So hopefully we've been filming since last year, so we have a lot of new stuff coming up. And we're getting ready to make our debut, a national debut on Roku. And we have subscribers, and people who want to subscribe, they can go. It's a free subscription. We're not charging. So at the moment we're not. So we can become a member of UBC TV Network family and watch our content and all the kind of stuff we have. We have a lot of stuff coming up, Carrie. A lot of exciting things.
It sounds like it. And we are so excited for you at the Hit Radio Morning Show and the Salon TV Network. Now, I've got to ask you, so folks who want to visit your website, is there a website where they can get all this wonderful information and find out more about UBC TV?
Yes. You can go to www.ubctvnetwork.com. And you can go there and you can actually sign up for free to your free membership, subscribership to UBC TV. And once we launch the mobile app, that same sign-in will get you into the UBC experience. So we will have premium content, live content, sports, pay-per-view, everything. And we're also adding podcasts. We have a whole lineup coming in addition to the radio, our radio show.
Yes.
Where people will be able to hear your show on our platform as well, and vice versa. Like everybody, listen. Carrie is awesome, and he's just wonderful, and he's so just. I have to toot your horn because you're just really just so awesome, and we've kind of like had this parallel kind of.
Yes, we have, and I have to say. First of all, I want to thank Ms. Peggy Dotson. Whenever we do any of these things, and the first person I'm thinking about who can add really something that's meaningful, so that our listeners and our viewers and folks out there, you guys actually tuning in right now, who can add something to the conversation? And your name is always the first that pops up. Ms. Peggy Dotson. I can just say nothing but amazing things. You've just done some just award-winning things at UBC TV. We're going to be following you very closely right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We will be doing a whole bunch of partnerships. We have some wonderful events that we're going to talk about with Hair Nation Expo. We'll get to that in some of the upcoming episodes. And hopefully you'll be able to come back and join us, from time to time and, drop some knowledge on us and give us some highlights from your broadcasts and let us, talk to some of those stars that are helping to pull it all together for you and bring them right here. You have a family dynamic going on here at Hair Nation, at Hair Nation Expo, but the Hair Radio Morning Show and Salon TV Network. So we are, that symbiotic feeling is going on, so we want you to be front and center right here always. So thank you. Now, Peggy, is there anybody you want to shout out to this morning before we say goodbye? Anybody at all you want to shout out to?
Let's see. I would like to shout out to my team, the UBC TV family. I want to thank all the people who have supported me, Peggy Dotson, and my vision. When no one else, there are people out there that no one else supported me. I have a handful of people that they know who they are. They were right there for me, and I have a heck of a team. We're small but mighty. There's Anthony Jones, there's Lenny Nugent, Verona, Amelia, Peter. There's just a group of us here, Nathaniel, who's my webmaster, who I would not be able to do anything. But, people have to understand all you need is mastermind team. It doesn't take a million people. It takes a handful of people that share your vision and trust that you are never going to give up and that you're as crazy as I am, like I am. And that sleep,
so the right
I
people.
Sleep, yeah, the right people. I believe me, I've been through the wrong people too, and that you should always know you will go through the wrong people, but you have to come out and keep going. But I've been through the wrong people, and now I have such great people. I want to shout out to my team who support me and support my craziness and my manicness that I have because I'm a perfectionist, and but I work very, very hard, and we've really done some great things together, and we're getting ready to go to the next level. We're getting ready to go out into the national, international.
Well, I was
spotlight.
About to say, I've got a news flash. I think you've already arrived at the next level. You are just doing it up. The Hair Radio Morning Show is proud again to thank the amazing Miss Peggy Dotson, UBC TV CEO, and to make sure to visit their website. Her website is www.ubctvnetwork.com, and we are real happy. And again, we're saying UBC, so that's U like uniform, B like boy, C like Charlie. But Urban Broadcast, Peggy D, Urban UBC.
UBC TV.
UBC TV, we love it. All right, we'll see you back here soon. Thanks so much for being with us. Okay, folks, we want you to keep it right here. We have a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details. You're listening to The Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we have a very, very special guest with us today. He's from the world of music and writing. Mr. Matthew Knowles, I want to welcome you to The Hair Radio Morning Show.
Hey, good morning, Carrie. You know, I've been very fortunate and blessed to have done a whole lot of entrepreneurial types of ventures. And one is for 18 years, I co-owned and co-managed the number one hair salon in Houston for a number of years called Headliners Hair Salon.
Is that really? Well, we
I actually published a hairstyling book, Gary, called Hair International back in the late 80s and early 90s.
Oh, we have got to talk about that. we got to figure out how you and I should have said music and the literary world on top of everything else. But how in the world did you get from the hair industry into the music industry, or are they kind of like one and the same as a lot of folks believe?
Well, for me, you know, I was in corporate America, and Tina, my former wife. I asked her one day what was her passion, and she said her passion was doing hair and making people beautiful. And I said, why don't you go to school? And when you finish school, we'll open a hair salon. And that's what we did. And that hair salon, we used one of the principles that I had learned, because I was selling diagnostic imaging to the medical, and I kind of used, when you go to a doctor's office, they ask you, you know, fill out all these forms, you know, why are you here, tell us your history, and then the nurse comes and takes you to the room, and then she weighs you and takes your temperature and asks you why you're there and do your blood pressure. And then a doctor comes, and he looks at that on the door before he walks in. He looks at your patient history and why you're there, and what your vitals are. And he's made a decision right there, what you need. He comes see you. And then when he finishes, which is the quickest part of it, is when you see the doctor, he leaves, and then he writes a prescription. And I use that same concept in our hair salon, exactly, having many assistants. The stylist never left the chair, and I thought it was malpractice if a licensed cosmetologist did not continue and complete the service. And that service is home products for the customer, and so maintenance, home maintenance.
Like, yeah, after,
so that was
after
our philosophy at Headliner.
Wow. Well, first of all, thank you for sharing that. And you really, you helped to add a whole different layer to this today. And we're so excited about it. Thank you very, very much. Now, I have to say, along the line, so the music, how did you get into producing music? I understand that you had, you know, I call it that whole passion for excellence and working for others and so forth and having that entrepreneurial mindset. But is that what kind of led you into music? How did you get into the production of music and that whole aspect?
Well, the production of it, you know, that's as an executive producer, you oversee everything from the studio, the travel, all of the paperwork that's involved. And also occasionally I had the opportunity to co-write Survivor and a couple of other songs with Destiny's Child, and you get into just over time, I've been in this field over 24 years now, and you pick up every aspect of it, and if you're passionate and you love it, then you want to learn every aspect of it, and that's what passion does. And you know, that's my new book, DNA of Achievers, you know, the 10 traits. The first one is passion. You know, are people doing, who's listening right now, are they doing what they're passionate about? Are they doing it for money? It's a big difference.
Well, you know what, let's talk about the DNA of Achievers and the 10 traits. We're not going to give all the traits because I'm going to do like Barbara Walters. We learn from the best. Don't give the top trait just yet. We're going to save that for the book. We want you to pick up this book. It's the DNA of Achievers. Now, the 10 traits of highly successful professionals. You mentioned passion. What are some of the, you know, how do folks recognize their passion? We do tell them that. We tell everyone, you know, pursue your passion. But how do you know what your passion is? You have any tips for that?
It's a very simple step. What is that one thing? And the key word here, Carrie, is one thing. Because the mistake most people make is they all over the place. They love this. They love hair. They love fashion. They love makeup. They love da-da-da. You know, that one thing that you can become really, really good and maybe even become great if you focused. So what is that one thing that energizes you, excites you, that you go to bed at night thinking about, wake up in the morning, can't wait to do it? And sometimes it's something that nobody even knows because you're embarrassed or ashamed to say, this is really my passion. And I tell everybody, I don't care what that one thing is, if you strive towards getting that one thing right, it will change your life, because if you are passionate about something, then it coexists with work ethics. Because when you are passionate, you don't work. You have fun all day doing what you love. And that's why I really focus in on passion. What is that one thing that you just excites you? You can just go running out the door right now because it makes you, gives you that much joy and fulfillment inside.
We love that. Now, I do have to ask you, what's that one passion thing for you, Matthew Knowles?
Educate and motivate in the areas of entrepreneurship and music business. I've done it all my life, educate and motivate.
Wow. Well, I have to just let everybody know, you know, you launched one of the most successful, I think it is the top successful female group of all time, you know, Destiny's Child, and award-winning, and you've just done so much. And we're just trying to find out what is it that has created this inside of you. I think that this book, The DNA of Achievers, will tell us a little bit about that. I really do. I know that passion is one of the, you know, the first traits that you mentioned, but what are some of the other traits that we should really look out for in The DNA of Achievers?
Well, I talked briefly about work ethics, because they coexist. You can't have one without the other. You can't have work ethics unless you're passionate about something. And because if you're not passionate, you don't want to, you know, if you hate doing it. You know, how many people wake up and hate going to work every day?
Well, that's kind of like majority of the folks. I think it's very few. God
bless them.
God
bless them, because I've been very fortunate. Seldom. I have, you know, my early days, Goodyear, when I used to work at Goodyear in the summer when I was a young teenager. I was determined to do the job, but I didn't like it. Didn't love it. I was determined, but, you know, it's a certain joy you get of waking up and going to do what you love. Yesterday, I started at 7 o'clock, Carrie, and I, in the morning, I finished at 11 o'clock last night, and I work normally 7 days a week. I go to the office on the weekends or do a ton of emails. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yes.
I love what I'm doing right now, talking to you. I love it.
Oh, thank you, Matthew. That is really, I have to tell you something. We are very honored to have you on the show, and something like this is so critical and important. But I have to go back a little bit. I actually love what you wrote, because I kind of live by this myself. You know, back when you were working in, I call it like for corporate kind of, you were doing like the sales and, you know, that to me sounds like project management. And when you have so much that you're in charge of and all of that, and you were so successful, even in sales. And I say, it just reminds me of myself. I think, when you are doing something, like you said, that you are passionate about, even if you're working for others and you're really happy about what you're doing, you know, it's automatically like a success, so to speak. And I just think that you don't necessarily always have to be an entrepreneur if that's not what you're, you know, in your spirit to do or whatever the case may be. But if you do whatever it is that you're supposed to do and you're passionate about and you love it, you know, you can make it into a success and you can feel that success. And I think this was, you know, so I read that line and I thought it was outstanding, you know, when you were working for the other company and, you know, you felt like an entrepreneur is what I'm driving at.
No. Carrie, I teach, one of the courses I teach at Texas Southern University is entrepreneurship in the School of Business. And the first thing that I teach, Carrie, is the biggest mistake and error that I think we make is we think, we get confused, entrepreneurship and owning a business. They are two different things. Entrepreneurship is a belief. It's a belief. It's a certain makeup. It's like a DNA. It's people that take risk. It's people that are highly energized. It's people that come up with ideas. That's entrepreneurship. There's a lot of people that own businesses that are business owners. They're not entrepreneurs. That's a lot of people that work for other people and are employees, but they are entrepreneurs in how they think, how they in a day operate. So please don't get that confused.
Okay, that is a very good point, and something that I absolutely need to bear in mind as well. Now, I have to say, and we're gonna definitely get on with some of these wonderful traits. We're going to talk a little bit more about the DNA of Achievers. But, folks, if you've just joined me, you are listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show, and today we have a very special guest coming to us. It's Mr. Matthew Knowles. Now, he has written a new book called The DNA of Achievers, and it's 10 Traits of Highly Successful Professionals. So this is something that we're going to definitely talk a little bit more about. But also, Matthew, I want to get into some of your current projects, some of the things that you're working on these days, and some of the plans that you have.
Well, Kerry, my passion has always been, even as a sales rep, when we truly think about what a salesperson do, they educate somebody on the product that they're selling, and
right.
they motivate them to buy it. And
sure.
so what I've been doing most of my life is my passion, educating and motivating. And I'm doing that right now. I'm doing a number of seminars around the country. November the 14th, I'm in Macon, Georgia. November the 15th, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, a seminar that's called The Entertainment Industry, How Do I Get In? And these seminars are all-day seminar, and they're for recording artists, singers, managers, producers, songwriters, videographers, choreographers, hairstylists. How about
wow.
that? Why would a hairstylist want to go to one of these conventions? Seminars, because it's 300 people in a room, and most of them want to get in the entertainment industry, and some of them hopefully will be successful. And guess what?
Love it.
They're
going to
need
Love
a hairstylist.
It. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, tell us more. So this seminar, the ones that are coming up around the 14th and 15th of November, how do we get involved with that?
You can go to eventbrite.com.
Eventbrite.com,
again, that's the entertainment industry. How do I get in? You know what, Kerry? I have to tell you, man, you reminded me, out of all the seminars, I mean, all of the interviews I've done on the DNA of Achievers,
yes.
I've never, and out of all the things I've talked about, the clothing line, Darion, House of Darion, headliners and Hair International, I seldom talk about, and I did that 18 years. Did you know, and for folks listening, they probably remember in the 90s that oversized hairstyling book. We had 3 volumes of it. One day,
really?
Kerry, I had to make the decision if I was going to be in the hair publishing book business or be in the music business, and I had to make that decision. I remember the day I had to decide, and
wow.
I had an office, and on the door said Hair International Publication, and on the door said Music World Entertainment, and
wow.
I had to make that decision. I used to go all over the country to all of those hair shows.
Oh,
and I had,
to Bronner Brothers and all those big hair shows and all of
that. Bronner Brothers, all of them. I had manuals. I was educating back then. I had a manual called How to Open Your Own Hair Salon. I had an educational manual.
I
feel
like
called,
I'm talking to someone yeah, that is amazing.
I had a manual called How to Build a Client Base. And then I
wow.
had an appointment book that I created. And so some
wow.
folks that are listening remember that Hair International Publication.
So you should feel at home here at Hair Radio. That's exactly the kinds of wonderful things that we do and bring to the, you know, to the beauty world. So I love it. I love it, and I can't wait. I want any of those copies that you have lying around, you let us know. We're happy to see them. And if you ever decide to, you know, to add on to this wonderful book that you have out now, again, The DNA of Achievers, and you decide to do something in the hair and beauty way, you make sure and look us up at Hair Radio. We would love to speak to you
about
that.
I guarantee you, Kerry, I guarantee your listeners, they pick up that book and they can go right now to Amazon or Apple and get the e-book. the hardback will be in stores in the next 30 days. But I guarantee you, I give you money back if after you read that book, The DNA of Achievers, and after every chapter, there's a work exercise. I actually, you know, that college professor comes out. I promise you, buy that book and you'll become better at what you're doing in the hair industry. Again, I did the industry for 18 years. And our first $1 million, Gary, was made in 1984 in Houston, Texas, with Headliners Hair Salon.
And that was before you, you know, we got to know you in the record producing world.
1984, Gary. 1984.
Wow. That is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And that's Headliners.
Who knew we were going to be talking about this, man?
We did. Well, you know what? This is just amazing. And I'm just blown away. I really am. But I have to ask you, there was one of the traits that I saw, and I said, well, hold it, I have got to ask Matthew about this. I want to talk about learning from your failure, too, because I believe in that, but I want to ask you what's your take on it. But what does talk-to-do ratio mean? I couldn't figure that out. What is talk-to-do ratio? And then I want to get into more of this. But what's talk-to-do ratio?
Well, Gary, you're in the industry that there's quite a bit of that, just like in the music industry, that people just talk about what they're going to do, the follow-up. They have an idea, they're going to follow up, or they're going to meet with you, or they're going to call you, and they're going to, and then you never hear from them.
Right.
You never
hear
a word from them.
Right.
And those two professions really do a lot of talk to do. And so it's measuring, Gary, the percentage of what we say we're going to do versus what we end up doing.
That's
what
the
it
execution.
Is, measuring what we say we're going to do versus the percentage of the time we actually do what we say we're going to do.
Wow.
And you find that successful people, if they say they're going to do something, you know, we had an interview at a certain time. You were there waiting. I was there 3 minutes before the time, not after the time we said. We both were there like we said we were going to do.
That's right.
And that's talk-to-do ratio, high percentage of doing what we say we're going to do. It's as simple as that.
I love it. And, of course, one of the biggest lessons, and I want to certainly say some for the folks who pick up this book called The DNA of Achievers, but it's the learning from failure. We cannot not talk about that. How, Matthew, what do you say to folks who need to learn from their failure, or how do you learn from your failure?
We're going to have failures. We're going to make mistakes. When we take risk, sometimes we make mistakes. Just in life's own terms, we make mistakes and we have failures. But I basically like to keep life real simple. In this book, I try to keep it real simple, and I try to keep it real. I keep it real. And you know, often we don't realize that mistakes are a reason and an opportunity for us to even become better, better at what we do, better as people. So it's an opportunity, but not a reason to quit. I like to say that mistakes and failures are an opportunity to grow, not a reason to quit. And if we haven't walked through some things, we can't grow. I could never tell you how to be the best, I don't know, pilot, airplane pilot. If maybe you had never tried to fly a plane, and maybe during your training, maybe you learned some things the hard way that maybe you don't ever want to do it that way. Maybe you don't want to fly into a storm. Maybe that ride got so bumpy and got so scary that you thought it was going to crash. And so you learn, hey, if there's a storm, I'm not going to fly in it. I had that one experience. It taught me I don't want to do that. And so we have to walk through this stuff sometimes. And we have to grow from it. But what I find is a lot of people, they're almost there, Gary, of being successful.
Yes.
They make a mistake, have a failure, and then they quit. They quit
but
right
there,
before it's going to happen.
Right before. But you've always heard that too, I'm sure, where they say, oh, he was just about to make it. And then, you know, you have a big, like, it always seems like some catastrophe happens or something really, like, I don't know, some folks say it's a test, that if you make it through that, then you'll be successful. It's really, it's a challenge sometimes. I have to actually say, being an entrepreneur myself, it is, it can feel like a challenge sometimes. So, you know, this is really nice. I appreciate you creating
but
a book like
this. Carrie, it is a challenge, but I have such a different approach. When it gets tough, that's when I gear
yeah.
up. That's when
that's
I'm
when
ready.
You get real.
Like
real
I put my foot on the gas when there's trouble. I don't like let up and say, oh, and start feeling sorry for myself.
Right, and start
poor pity me. That's not what successful people do, man.
That's right.
They said, okay, only person who's going to help me get through this is me and some good people around me that I can trust and believe in, and I'm going to get through it. First, you got to believe it.
Wow. This is amazing. You have to believe. I guess it goes back to, like you said, the passion, the work ethics, but there is one other element that we probably have to at least address, and that's the vision. You got to be someone who can actually see it, I think.
And that vision is just, again, I like to keep it simple. It's having an idea and thinking the idea all the way through to execution of the idea that it becomes a real product. And so most people have vision, and the mistake that we often make is we go running out, we have this idea, and we go running out before we thought it all the way through, and we ask a friend or someone who we think is a friend, and we say, hey, what do you think about this? And they're like, oh, man, that ain't going to ever work. Well, maybe you should think it all the way through. And so when you go to your friend, you don't ask them what they think. You say to your friend, you know what, friend, I need you to, this is my idea. I need you to invest $100 in this idea. Not I'm going to ask you what you think about it, because I'm going to explain it all the way through. And I'm not asking your opinion. I'm asking for your help versus your opinion. That's what a true visionary does.
Wow. I love it. Now, folks, if you've just joined us, you are listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Our very, very special guest today, Mr. Matthew Knowles. Now, you guys know him. He's an award-winning executive producer in the music world, and he's also an author of this new book called The DNA of Achievers, 10 Traits of Highly Successful Professionals. Now, we did not indicate number one yet. We're not going to give number one. I don't want to give that over the air, Matthew. We want folks to go and certainly order this book. As you say, you can get it from Amazon. We just want to promote it and put it out there. It's something that obviously, especially our fan base, our wonderful listeners of the Hair Radio Morning Show, are very much entrepreneurs and would be able to gain something from this. So this is very, very exciting. Hey, I just want to turn back to music for one quick moment. I have one of the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show, when they found out you were coming to the show, they wrote in and they sent a question. And they said, and I thought it was very interesting because I don't think I would have thought of this, but have you ever, Matthew, thought of putting together a boy band or a male group or a male version of it? What do you say to something like that?
Well, you know, I'm working with a girl group. It just seems as though my magic is with girl groups. I was fortunate to work with Trinity 5-7 and Gospel, and they, similar to Destiny's Child and pop and R&B and Gospel, Trinity 5-7 is the number one selling female trio of all time in gospel. And so I have a female trio that I'm working with in hip-hop, two rappers and a female vocalist. Their name is Blush Music. And I have to put emphasis on Blush because it's spelled B-L-U-S-H-H-H.
All right.
And you will hear about these young ladies very, very soon in the next 3 to 5 months. And so that's what I'm working with. I had worked once with a boy band, but it's a different set of dynamics.
It's a whole different set.
I love the imaging part also that happens on the female side, and the approach for marketing is a lot different. And so I enjoy that. It's the most difficult of all is working with a female group because you have a lot of psychological dynamics that falls into play, as well as the imaging, as well as the music matching. And so that's a challenge, and I love challenges. And so I enjoy that.
Well, it sounds like you can tie the success of something like that, and especially your projects, back to something like wonderful traits.
But, Gary, I want to thank you. You know, I want to thank you. I really hadn't talked about the hair industry. And
I'm
happy my publicist, Angelo, and, you know, those guys set up this interview because I seldom do I talk about. There were some great years, some fun years owning that hair salon. And then one day we called a meeting. Tina called a meeting, and no one knew what she was going to do. 18 years into the business, and one stylist who was an assistant for like 2 or 3 years, maybe even more, and he was he wasn't gifted with the skill of being a hairstylist. He had to develop and work on it. And he came to work early, and he stayed late. And she called this meeting, and he had been with the company 10 years, and she gave him Headliners Hair Salon in Houston. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house, in the room, when she gave this stylist the business because he was dedicated. He was passionate, and he came early. And, he stayed late, and those are the formulas of greatness, people who come early and stay late. And she rewarded him for that. But I have to run. I see they're knocking on the door, and
well,
I got to get going, man.
I just want to say thank you. I was so wrapped with that story. That's a great story. Listen, Matthew, thank you so much for being with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at chairwatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is Friday morning. It's actually January 14th of 2022, and it is our show number 655. Show 655 as we march towards show number 700 of this broadcast. And folks, if you've just kind of tuned in and you've missed any part of the broadcast, we led in with some of my favorite recent interviews that we've done, as we are always paying tribute to some of the great things that we've done on the broadcast in recent years. Also wanted to say that we decided to do something very special for the girl groups, and I kind of had a stroke of genius, and that was to get on a classic interview with none other than Matthew Knowles, of who started the whole Destiny Child group, if you will. But also coming up in just about 20 minutes or so, we have a very special interview talking about girl groups. We have a very special gentleman who was the last assistant to a super, super duper icon in the music business and music world. We're talking about a member of the Supremes, Mary Wilson. So this is a very, very big talk. It's really part one. You're going to find out quite a bit of things. Let me just say, if you have small children, it's probably you might want to kind of, you know, usher them out of the room, so to speak. I think it's going to be quite an explosive conversation, if you will, this morning. And there are parts that we'll get to, and then part two will air on Tuesday morning. So we're talking about January 18th at 6:30 Eastern. So on Tuesday morning, part two, and I think a critical part of the story. So this will be on Tuesday morning, part two, at 6:30 in the morning, New York time, 5:30 Central time. So you do want to make a note on that, because you won't hear it again broadcasting at that time. So if you know, we have a big show on Tuesday we'll talk about in a little bit. But if it's around 7:30 in the morning, it's time for Harlem Will. Let me just get this young man on. He's been standing by. Harlem Will, we're live on this Friday morning. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Harlem Will Report. How's everybody doing?
Yes, the Harlem Will Report. Harlem, well, we got a lot of folks who are joining us for the very first time today. Would you be kind of just, you know, remind everybody what the Harlem Will Report is all about?
Well, the Harlem Will Report, thank you, Carrie. The Harlem Will Report is about bringing to people topics that I feel personally are important for a lot of people to know, especially in my community and abroad. These are topics that They're not necessarily unknown, but at the same time, it's not on people's minds, but it's something that people are thinking about subconsciously in the back of their heads. And it's just something that if it's brought to their attention with my voice and my opinion, you know, of course, I'm saying a lot of my, like Johnny Gill, but it's something that I felt a lot of people should know about, because we live in a day and age of a lot of information. And this is just some good information for a lot of the community to have. And these are the stories I want to bring.
Okay. So, Arnold, this is your perspective that we get to discuss and some of the stories. And I think it's kind of fun as well. I always say this. I say it's really all that matters out there, because there are stories and things that, you know, when I get up, I turn on the news and I just don't want to see it anymore. I don't want to hear it. I'm just tired of it. And quite often, other times, there's no mention of it. You know, like recently, and we're going to talk a little bit about this, let me just suffice it to say, there are many times that I turn on the news and they don't even mention anything about certain individuals that were huge in the Black community. And I always, I never could quite understand it. I was like, why did they not see all the stuff on my Facebook feed? You know, all these great stories about folks that I want to know about, but no mention on the news here. So, you know, I just thought I'd mention that little part there, throw that on in. But Harlem Will, I'm so happy to have you with us. And again, right here in New York City, Harlem Will, today, what have you worked on for the fans and listeners of the Hair Radio Morning Show today? What have you got?
Well, today I'm bringing a story that's being reported in NPR about how $1.7 billion are being canceled by the loan service company at Navient, which used to be known as Sallie Mae, that company that student borrower loans absolutely loathe, including yours truly.
Wow.
So, According to NPR, the loan servicing giant Navient has agreed to cancel over $1.7 billion in student loans owed by 66,000 borrowers, with 39 state attorney generals signing on for this as well. The settlement ends a year-long legal fight with states, which Navient faced two serious allegations. First, the company was accused of steering student loan borrowers into an expensive forbearance instead of a more flexible income-driven repayment plans. So, in short, the loan servicing company was basically preying on borrowers, which the company knew would have a difficult time paying the loans back, and relied on the fact that it was backed by the government to force borrowers to pay back the loans, even if those students weren't exactly sure how it worked. And I'm sure, like a lot of student loan borrowers like myself, we did feel that there was a bit of the fine print, well, as they say, that people didn't understand or, you know, just didn't figure out. And now we have state attorney generals who are now working with Navient to cancel over $1.7 billion. So I think that's some good news for over 66,000 borrowers.
I was about to say.
What do you think about that?
Are you dancing a jig this morning, Harlem Will, on the table?
It's good. I'm happy. But I don't know if I'm one of those 66,000 borrowers. So I don't have to call into Navient to follow and make sure, hey, did I get in on that? Can I do a little dance on top of the table?
That's true. Yeah, you have a point. And this is something that I think is huge. I really do. I think it's a great thing, as so many other civilized nations have, where education is essentially free, if you will. But that's another story. But I think this is great. And I think it's just awesome. I really do. With everything being so expensive these days, it's one less thing to worry about. So great job, Harlem Will. All right, the Harlem Will Report. Harlem Will, I know you have another story you wanted to share with us this morning.
Yeah, I actually have one more. It's funny that you say that things are so expensive these days. Well, keeping it right here in Manhattan, the rent has actually gone up way too high these days. I wouldn't want to say the other word that another gentleman who started to say. I didn't want to say that early in the morning. But, it's been
rent is too darn high, I'll say it.
And you know,
well, that's
what?
Not
sure
quite the word, I'm sure.
right, exactly. It's like, I'm sure this is affecting people across the nation, you know, as prices have gone up in the last couple of years. But it's been reported in the New York Times that in Manhattan, the median rent reached $3,400 in December, the highest price ever recorded for the typically sleepy month. By slowing lease activity citywide suggests a gradual return to pre-pandemic norms, according to a new market report. But that's not exactly something that a lot of renters are welcoming, because the rent was still high back then. So now it went back up now. So if it's only going to fall down, 1%, it's not exactly helping them out much, especially with interest, with inflation taking place and pretty much knocking down everybody's compensation rates. But in case you wanted to play in New York City, yes. If you want to come here and have a good time, absolutely. If you want to live here, just understand, if you want to live in Manhattan, which is pretty much the playground for all of New York City, it's going to cost you a pretty penny. Now, have you ever noticed that the rent just kept going up and up, and it doesn't seem to be any type of relief, Karen?
Heck yeah! Absolutely. I'm the ringleader on this subject out here. I'm the first one in line and heading the charge. I'm sick of the rents in New York City.
Brooklyn's really to the spike. Yeah, Brooklyn's really seen a spike in rates.
That's the thing, Harlem Will. Now, let me paint the picture for the folks who are not in New York or have never been to New York. Our New York City is comprised of like five boroughs. Harlem Will is in one. He's in Manhattan. I'm in Brooklyn. Brooklyn used to be kind of known as the outer borough, if you will, meaning that Manhattan kind of was the leading borough in New York City, so to speak. Whether it was really stated or not, that was kind of the feeling folks kind of walked away with, or they were built at the time, in the old days especially. So folks left Manhattan because the prices, as you just pointed out, well, they were always way up high, but they're through the roof. If you are from New York City and you're a person of color, you, in my personal opinion, you're slowly being inched out, and it's the same thing that's happening over here in Brooklyn and everywhere in New York City, in my viewpoint. So I'm not happy about the rent. It's super expensive. Most folks cannot live alone here in New York City. I'm very fortunate and blessed, but most folks are not. And so that's the thing. It's horrific. It's horrific. And Will, just if I may tag on, there was a report I saw in the news yesterday where they said where it's three of the, and I hate to say this, but the cities where, let's just say that folks are not running to move to, I'll just put it that way. They didn't say it so nicely on the news. And I've lived in all three cities. I said, oh, boy, this is really telling me something. New York City was on the top three. Philadelphia, where I was born, and Los Angeles, where I got my start in radio.
That makes sense.
So I said, boy, I can really pick them. But yeah, it was a different time, right? Back in the old days, Harlem, Will, it was a different time, and folks just were different. And yes, it was, you know, a little rough here and there in certain parts of all these places. But there was a sense of camaraderie, of support, of family and connections and brotherhood. That seems to have evaporated. Folks have come in, moved into these areas, priced us out for the most part. Again, I'm raising my hand on a personal note, so I won't speak for Harlem Will, but that's how I feel. And so, you know, I better stop because this topic I can talk about until literally 9 o'clock this morning. And so I know we have it's a very, you know, touchy subject for me. I'm very passionate about it. And, you know, and folks who I used to live in some of these spots, like in Bed-Stuy, some of these other places where in the old days you wouldn't see anybody else who was not a person of color in those neighborhoods. Now you go there, they're, you know, little gyms and all kinds of folks walking around, walking, little doggy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a long story. So anyway, that's my take. Harlem, well, why did you bring up this big topic today for us mid-show? Harlem, well, no, I'm just kidding. Great story. Great story.
Nope.
And,
right. Yeah,
you know.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, good job. Hey, speaking of Harlem, well, I want to remind everybody that on Tuesday is such a big show. Harlem Will coming up on Tuesday. Of course, we have part two of this amazing story with Supreme singer Mary Wilson's last assistant and his account as to pretty much the last days of her life. So we'll talk to him on part two as well on Tuesday morning. Tuesday is huge from top to bottom. Harlem will be on in the first half hour of the morning from between 6 and 6:30 New York time, 5 and 5:30 Central time. And then after that, we have back to the show for the very first time this year, Dr. Yolanda Ragland. She is a surgeon and entrepreneurial expert. So she'll be talking about foot care. You guys have heard her commercial here for years, fixyourfeet.com, big folks, literally for years. Yeah, fixyourfeet.com. So we're happy, Dr. Ragland, get your questions together. She's going to be here live, and boy, Dr. Ragland can bring it, so get ready. So that's she'll be on at special time at 7:30 on Tuesday morning. And then 8:30, we have another live guest, of course. You guys know the show, Vet Talk Radio Show, Michael Hopkins and Michael's Angels. Join us as panel, and I'm just telling you, it's from top to bottom. And remember, Harlem, where we talked about it briefly in mid-show yesterday on the Harlem Will Report about what the, I say hashtag YOTF. Can you tell folks what that stands for?
It is the hashtag is the year of the family. Speaking of which, I need to call my dad.
Hey, you know what? That's what this is all about. I'm so glad you said that because that's exactly what this is all about. It's about bringing radio content to everybody who, you know, our families, they matter to us. And we just want to make sure that we, you know, do some special programming that highlights whether it's health,
wellness or any of that across our platform. So you might be hearing it here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Maybe Vet Talk Radio Show will talk about it. Maybe Harlem Wheel might have something for the family as well. So these are some wonderful things that we're doing. And then I have a couple of big news program notes, so I'm going to really get this in fast so we can get this gentleman on at 8 o'clock Eastern, so in about less than 10 minutes, he'll be joining us, and we are so happy. His name is Nicholas, and I just am super excited and can't wait for you guys to get to know him. But I do want to say this. Coming up very, very soon, I'm so excited, Harlem Will, and this is the first time I'm sharing it with you as well. But our 24-hour network, 7 days a week, we have our own streaming network that will be returning to the airwaves. I'm super, super hyped about it. Some big things that we're working on also. We are developing a huge, huge 24-hour network for the folks at Upscale. We want you guys, if you have not gotten a subscription in Upscale Magazine or with Upscale Magazine, go to www.upscalemagazine.com and subscribe. It's less than $20. And it's a beautiful magazine. One of my favorite recent issues, they have Brandy on the cover. They got Kay Michelle, I think, in a recent issue. And yours truly, I should be front and center somewhere in there in their April issue. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed for that. But until then, we'll be launching our 24-hour Upscale radio network. So lots of stuff happening at the Hair Radio Morning Show. And that's just a couple things. But is that not nice? What are your thoughts, Harlem Will?
No, I think we're doing a lot of things. The Hair Radio Show is doing so many things right now with the interviews with Mary Wilson, with the Upscale relationship forming.
Yes.
This is going to be a very big year. And the first thing is to try to include so much family in on it. So that's why this is called Year of the Family. And we always want to include the Hair Radio Show family, even the fans that we consider family, because we get up in the morning and we talk about all this stuff with you guys every day, you know, well, at least Tuesday through Friday, but pretty much Monday through Friday, every day with the family. So yeah, this is come along with it for the journey. This is a big ride for us.
Absolutely. And again, Nicholas, the last assistant to the late Mary Wilson, huge Supreme singer. You guys out there. In fact, the last note on that, before we get this gentleman introduced to you guys, I love when I did my research on the amazing career. And again, I'm talking about Major. She's, you know, they were on the Ed Sullivan Show, for God's sake. You're huge when you're on Ed Sullivan. But one of the things, and of course the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and all that stuff, you know, those are just, you know, absolute amazing things as well. But I want to say this, the music. And I said, okay, I love the songs that Mary. I never really knew that I would appreciate her voice as much as I do. And now that she's gone, it's just, So I'm going to get on one of the songs, a little bit of it. I'm going to try to play a little bit of it. And for you folks out there, this we opened up the show today with this very special special song in tribute to a lot of the girl groups of the 60s. And this, Mary, this is really the Supremes, but she was singing lead, I think, on this song. And it was a remake, but I'll let you guys dig in. And it's only 3 minutes, so we'll be right back on the other side of this. And then it's time to kind of get started with the interview. So stay with us, folks, and we'll be back. We'll be back on the other side. Stay with us.
Of you, caught on the way that I stand. can't take my eyes off of you.
Everybody, I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
All right, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest joining us today from the world of fashion. And boy, oh boy, does he have a story to share this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Okay, let's bring to the line Mr. Nicholas Stiles. Nicholas,
good morning.
Good morning and welcome. Yes, welcome to the broadcast. Okay, I want to jump. Yes, it's my pleasure. And listen, I want to jump right on in to this. This is, to me, a very big, big story. It's one that has not, that I hadn't heard about. I want to start here. You are, you had been working with a legendary music artist. You were hired to work closely and be an assistant to this legendary music artist. And shortly thereafter, the music artist passes away.
Right.
So I want to get the story with how all of this came to be. You know, the entire story. I think we want to tell this. But first, let's kind of go back a little bit. Now, you are, where are you from, Nicholas? Where were you born and where were you raised? That wonderful good stuff. What can you tell us this morning?
Lorain, Ohio. From Lorain, Ohio, born Lorain, Ohio, raised in Lorain, Ohio. That's actually where I live right now, since I've been back to Ohio.
Okay. And that's near the Cleveland area.
Yes, about 30 minutes from downtown Cleveland.
Okay. All right. So now, this person, this superstar, if you will, let's just go ahead and put it on out there. We're talking about the late Mary Wilson. You guys know her from Supreme's fame. She's been, forever immortalized, as far as we're concerned, with her incredible music talent. And so we've got to go back. Let's start at the beginning. How did you find out, how did this come to be where you were hired on as an assistant for the great Mary Wilson?
Well, then if we're going to talk about that, we have to go back even further.
So all right.
2018. Actually, I think we should go back even further than 2018. When I was about eight years old, I was watching PBS, and they were doing a telethon to sell DVDs for the Ed Sullivan Show. And I honestly didn't know who the Supremes were. I knew the name Diana Ross, but I didn't know who the Supremes were. So it was, I'm watching this little program that they were doing to raise money for the station and sell these DVDs. And the Supremes come on, and they're wearing these baby blue sequin Gail halter neck dresses. And what made me fall in love with them is their dresses. So then I started, going on the internet, looking them up, and I found, more videos of them I found that they had more dresses and more sequins and beads. So then I started looking up who they were individually and looking at their individual stories, not knowing that there was a connection between Supremes and Dreamgirls at the time. Well, until later on when I looked it up and discovered more of like Florence Ballard's story, and they compared it to Effie White. From there, I didn't know if you were going to say something. But from there, I had always had a dream of being a fashion designer. So when I discovered the Supremes, it kind of like felt like I found my muse of what I wanted to design. Because I've always had this idea of glamorous stuff, glamorous clothes, but I never had a face to put to it, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
So when I discovered the Supremes, they became the face to my designs.
All of the glitter and the glamorous stage presence and the dancing and singing and those amazing songs. They have like a billion songs. And wow, okay. So you fell in love with them at that point, never dreaming that you'd be working for one of them.
Well, in 2015, December 2015, my grandmother, Faye, died. And one of the things she always encouraged was my liking for Motown. She had a bunch of records because that was her period of growing up,
right,
in the 60s. So she had a bunch of records, and she'd play the records, and we would listen to the records. She'd tell me, like, oh, I remember doing this or doing this to this song. And I remember she tried to get us a tour of the Motown Museum. She died before that happened. But she did, one thing she did say is kind of, I guess, a coincidence. Everything she said happened, but it didn't happen exactly how she said it, because what she said was, you're going to meet Diana Ross, and you're going to become close to her, work with her, do all these different things. And everything she said happened, was going to happen with Diana Ross, happened with Mary Wilson.
Wow. But she had that vision.
Yeah.
And quite often, when you get those visions, they
to me, they happen, but it may not be exactly, you know, what that person had seen. But that is amazing. Right. So that was the beginning, and quite possibly planted in your mind as well. And it could have started you on that road and path.
A little bit. No, definitely. Well, Mary and Diana are my favorite to pray. And I remember every year Diana would come to Ohio, I would try to go see her. Something would always happen. One time, whether the tickets sold out before I could buy the tickets or I wasn't old enough to get into a venue, because most of the time she would come to Cleveland, would be at one of the casinos, so they didn't allow anyone who wasn't over 21 in the casino.
Right.
So there was one time I had everything ready. I'm going to go to Vegas to go see Diana Ross. And this was a month before the pandemic happened. I was the week before my flight, who was supposed to leave, everything got shut down. So it kind of felt like I'm never going to see this woman. So just kind of like a thing of it's never going to happen. But by this time, I was already in contact with Mary Wilson. January of 2018, after a phone conversation, we had never met in person before. We talked on the phone, and I had.
Well, how did she? Did you see something on the internet that she was looking for an assistant, or how did she even know that you existed?
Well, she didn't. I don't think she knew. Well, I don't know if she knew I existed or not, but I will say when I told her who I was, she acted as if she knew who I was already. So it was never a question of how you got my phone number or who are you, you know, anything like that. But how I got her phone number was her hairstylist, her name is Diana, evidently. Her hairstylist posted their text messages on Facebook and didn't realize that she posted the text messages and had her number at the top of the
page.
And so I'm like, this is Mary Wilson. I knew who Diana was because a lot of the Supremes fans are connected with each other, so we all kind of know each other in one way or another. And I knew who Diana was because she's been talked about, and she's talked about working for Mary. So when I saw it, I'm like, that's not really Mary. Mary's phone number. It's like, that's too easy. Like, this is no way that I have this woman's number. So I text the number, and I said, Merry Christmas. This was obviously, you know, Christmas. And I said, Merry Christmas, because that's the day I found it, was on Christmas. And she replied back, Merry Christmas. I don't know who this is. But happy holidays to you and your family, something like that. And then it said, touch MW. And from her Facebook post and her Twitter post, she'd always use that as her signature at the end of her statuses, touch MW. So I'm like, no, this really isn't her. I said, I don't think it's really her. So I got curious, and I texted the number again. This was January, though. And I texted and said, hey, I was just wondering, I'm starting a lip gloss line, and I was wondering if you would be interested in being a sampler for me. And she responded, sure, call me. So me waiting to, you know, because I'm nervous, obviously, because I'm like, I don't know if it's really going to be her or not. So when I called, I heard her voice. And I said, wow, this is really Mary Wilson. So we talked on the phone. And like I said, never once asked how you got my phone number. The only thing she asked me was, what's my name and where am I from? That's all she asked. But she never asked how I got her phone number, you know, what was my reasoning for calling her. She was just completely polite, kind of as if we knew each other all this time.
Very kind.
Opening, welcoming, and friendly. So, kind of put me at ease, too, because...
Yeah.
At the end of the conversation, she states that, you know, I can't help you financially with, you know, your business, but I can be a mentor if that's something that you're interested in. And I said, yeah, I actually honestly only wanted you to be a tester or just like sample it and post about it, take pictures wearing it and saying that you like the product if you did like it. I honestly wasn't contacting you for money. And she said, okay. She said, well, yeah, if you want a mentor, I can help guide you in the direction business-wise of where you want to be. So I said, okay. And we went from there. Like, that was January.
Amazing. Wow.
I ran a Supreme
How did you feel?
Club.
Were you not just overjoyed? Or you, weren't you overjoyed? And
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So now you were still out in Cleveland at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lorraine, yes.
Okay, right. I'm sorry. Yes, of course, in Ohio. I'll safely say Ohio. But now where was Mary at that point?
Vegas. Either Vegas or in L.A. No, I'm sorry. She was in L.A. because the address she sent me when we got off the phone was an L.A. address.
Okay.
So she was in L.A. at the time.
Okay, got it. Wow. Okay. So how did the conversation, okay, great. She is friendly. She is kind. You kind of started that connection. She offered to be a mentor, which is amazing all by itself. But you're still out there. How did that conversation evolve to you becoming her assistant, though?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think she needed an assistant. I think what it was is that she more so just wanted someone to be with her or someone around her. Because what she told me was she hasn't really had anyone creative on her team. And when I say creative, I don't mean like, you know, creative with ideas, creative with, you know, actual like artistic skills, things like that. Hair, makeup. I can do hair. I can do makeup. So all of that is kind of what she was looking for more so. But I also feel like she wishes also whether she knew she was at the end or not, maybe she just wanted someone to be there with her. Because when I was over there, I honestly never did any work. I sent maybe a few emails, looked up a few things.
You're saying when you were over there, so when you traveled from Ohio out to Vegas, and that's where she had come, apparently left that L.A., address and went over to Vegas. Okay,
yeah, home
and
for
so
her is Vegas.
Home for okay, so that's where she lived. That was her home. She was based out in Las Vegas, Nevada. And so you went out there a while ago to meet up and all of that. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes.
Okay. So
in November of 2021.
It's been a long time. Okay.
Yes, November 2021, she said, I need the system. I wish you were here in Vegas. I'd hire you full time. And I said, well, in my head, I didn't respond to the email like this. I said, in my head, well, I can make that happen.
I'm telling you, I would have been like, somebody's at your door. That's me. I'm at the door. I would have jumped out the window and been there in 2 seconds. Of course, the great Mary Wilson.
It was 2 seconds. I had nothing planned, nothing saved. I had, when I left Vegas, I had $200 and a plane ticket and a suitcase full of clothes.
Okay, and that's plenty.
Yep. That was all I needed because I knew a dream of mine had came true. So I didn't really care about anything else, honestly.
Exactly.
What she was paying me, I would have did it for free, honestly. I didn't care about what she was paying me. I didn't care about anything. Nothing of that was in my head. I, at moment, only thing that was on my mind was I am sitting in front of someone I look up to almost all my life.
Wow. Let me just take a moment to bring everybody up to speed. Folks out there, if you are just joining us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we have a very, very special guest who is with us telling really a remarkable story that he has lived. The personal assistant to one of the greatest entertainers of, you know, for the generations that have passed. We're talking about Mary Wilson of the Supremes. And I have to say, the young man is Nicholas Stiles. He, in his own right, is a creator. Well, they call now, you know, a creative. He is doing all these amazing things that we're going to talk about. And he's kind of bringing us along in this great story of first meeting Miss Wilson, and of course discovering a passion for the Supremes, and following his grandmother's great premonition that he one day would meet a Supreme, and so it has happened. I have to say, this story, Nicholas, is just unreal. It's unreal. It really is. And you're just getting started. And it's unreal, yes.
And honestly, when I tell people the story, whether I'm doing an interview or talking to someone, a friend or a family member, or just talking to someone who doesn't really know the story, it kind of feels like I'm telling a dream, not really a real story. Or I'm telling something that you would hear about in a book or in a movie.
Absolutely.
Not something that really just happened to someone who, I guess you could say, dare to dream.
Well, she's a music icon. She's a music icon. So now, we were at the point where you went out to Vegas, the first meeting. What happened? Who picked who up? How did you connect? You know, did she show up at the at McCarran in Las Vegas at the airport and drive you from there? Did she send the car or Uber or what? Oh, that was not your first
meeting? No, that was our first meeting in Vegas, though. But she came to Cleveland the same year that we met over the phone. She came to Cleveland, and that was our first time meeting in person. And then she also came to Detroit that following year, and she was hosting a party, and I had drove to Detroit for the party. Because Detroit, for me, is only 2 hours.
It's not so far, right, and she was close by. By that time, you guys had gotten close.
Yeah,
okay.
She was already my mentor. We were talking, you know, on the phone, not every day, or maybe like every other month or something like that. And
you stayed
like
in contact.
Yeah.
Okay.
She would email me to check in. I talked to her about me being depressed, and she had to check in and see how I was doing and things like that.
Awesome. Now, what about that first meeting, though, when she came to Cleveland? What did you, I mean, were you super excited? Did she look like you believed she would? Or how did you guys, apparently you clicked.
Well, how that happened was my birthday is August 31st, so she came in September of that year. And I had knew she was coming because I kept track of all of her tour dates, so that I could post them on the fan page that I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was coming to certain cities. I'd say, well, hey, Mary's coming to this city, or and she's going to be at this place, or whatever. So when I saw she's coming to Cleveland, I looked it up and saw that it was only $15 to get in. I'm like, Cleveland, it's only $15. And I bought my ticket instantly. So I remember my mom called me. Friends text me and tag me in different posts on Facebook and Instagram, like, you know, Mary Wilson's coming to Cleveland, right? I'm like, you already know, I already know this. I've been picking up my outfit for a month now. So before she came, I called her because I was unsure of like what type of event this was, because as we got closer to the event, the venue added more information about the event. And I wanted to know what was something like I should dress up for. So it was also at a museum. So it was like, so I asked, should I dress up? Should I, you know, come casual? You know, what should I expect? And she was telling me, you know, don't worry about it. It's a, you know, casual event, so you don't have to dress up or anything like that. Well, I guess I should have thought when someone older says casual, they mean more like business casual. Because I came in there with leggings and a flannel wrapped around my waist. And everyone had suits on and...
Right. Don't you feel like you just want to melt into the ground?
Yes. Yes. I'm like, oh, my God. Because I had a suit picked out.
Right.
Was, you know, since she said it isn't, you know, I don't have to dress up. I mean, I'm not going to dress up.
Yes. Well, you know what you learned? You absolutely learned that day the difference between casual and business casual. Believe
right.
me. And that's a lesson a lot of folks don't know. But in a way, it made you stand out also and
mm-hmm.
express your style to a big degree.
No, it definitely did, and it did for two reasons. So when she walked out from the back of the museum, she looked around the room. I told her I was coming, so she looked around the room. We never saw. Well, I knew what she looked like. She didn't know what I looked like. So she looked around the room, and she didn't see. I guess she was looking for me. So. She looked, me and her made eye contact, she smiled, and she, you know, started looking around the room again. And then she looked back at me again, and she said, are you Nick? And I said, yeah. And then she had this big smile, she was like, well, come here. So she, we kind of had like an awkward moment where she held her hand out, I held my arms out to give, she held her hand out to him, shake my hand, I held my arms out to hug her, and then she held her arms out to hug me, I held my hand out to shake her hand. So it was kind of like a back and forth for us. We just ended up shaking Jenny's hand. And then she said, look what I have on. And she pointed to her lips, and it was a lipstick that I had made for her. And I'm sorry, I can't talk. And she started laughing. And she said, it's okay. She said, I'm sure you'll be more settled after the program. So after the show, we'll talk. So she gets a, it's like a live Q&A she did, a live interview. And the lady who's interviewing her asked her, does she mentor? Because they were talking about Maxine Powell and all the other mentors that her and the Supremes had at Motown. So she said, I don't really call it mentoring, more just giving guidance to younger fans, but you see the young man sitting right there in the front row. I guess you could say I mentor him. He makes lip glosses and lipsticks, and that's how we became connected. So now everybody's looking
wow.
at me like, oh, you know Mary?
Like, who are you? Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Wow.
So, you know, that was the first time we met.
Amazing.
And
that is amazing. So from there, you go back to, you're already near your home, not too far from Cleveland. So that was that. And as you mentioned, you guys stayed in touch over the months and all of that. And at this point, she's your mentor, you're the mentee. And now your friends, what does your family think of you? I mean, because you have to look at it this way also, Nicholas. You're from a different generation, totally different parts of the spectrum when it comes to generations. Did people think you have like an old spirit or any of those kinds of things? Were you teased about being connected to some legendary artists? So how did that play in your head? And your friends, what do your friends think about this?
All my life I felt like an old soul, or I've always quite an old. So, for example, Ian, there was a birthday party, which is, of course, a kid's birthday party was invited to. Everybody, you know, was wearing sneakers and jeans, maybe, and I wore dress pants and Stacey out of shoes. And everybody's looking at me like, why do you have church clothes on? Because it's what I felt comfortable in.
Wow. And even your communication style, it is, feels like I'm talking to more of a contemporary age-wise, really. But that is just amazing. You put folks at ease, and we're going to talk about that. So, which I imagine went over very well with Mary Wilson. So, tell me about that.
It definitely got critiqued one of the days that I was at her house. So, it was wash day, and I only had this bodysuit that I had bought, a jumpsuit I had bought. It was a tight jumpsuit, and I had wore a shirt over it because I wore it as kind of like pants, so I like wore a sweater over it to make it look like it was pants and a shirt. And the jumpsuit was really tight. So she opens the door, and she goes, "Hi." And she stops and looks me up and down and just moves out the way and kind of like just lets me in, doesn't say anything. And the whole time, I'm like, well, I don't know what I did because I don't know. So it kind of made me awkward because, like I said, she really didn't say much to me like she usually would. So the next day, I come over and I'm, you know, like I said, it's wash day, so I haven't really had, I don't have anything but like jogging pants that were clean. And I wore the jogging pants that I had over to her house, and she goes, these pants, the first thing she says, these pants are a lot better than the ones you wore the last time.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, you're making quite a few faces. And she's like, I'm sorry. And I was like, no, it's fine. It was actually kind of funny. And she's like, my thing is, when you have a big, and she stopped. I said, a big, and then there's this pause, a big behind. You don't wear tight pants. I said, oh. She said, yeah. She said, I don't want to be offensive or anything, but, you know, you just, it's not flattering. Unless it's the kind of attention you want.
And okay.
I said, I understand. And she was like, well.
That's great. That is great advice that I will never unhear. That's great advice, I think. How did you take that?
Well, once again, it was one of those things that made me feel more comfortable around her because
yes.
It was like I was home.
And she always seemed to speak her mind on television interviews.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, at this point, I wanted to ask you, Nicholas, and again, if you guys are just joining us, I'm speaking with a very special guest on the Hair Radio Morning Show. It's a very, very special broadcast. We have welcomed the last assistant of singing superstar, the legendary icon, Miss Mary Wilson of the Supremes. Nicholas Stiles is his name, and he's joining us today with this amazing story that you don't want to miss one part of, believe me. It's just, I've never heard anything quite like it. Now, I wanted to ask you, during some of these meetings, you guys met, she came out to Cleveland, you guys met in Detroit, you stayed in touch over the months. The friendship was growing. The mentoring was going on. Was there ever a point that she shared details of her journey as a Supreme with you, or did she ever talk about Diana? I mean, we want to know these things. Did she ever mention Diana Ross to you?
If you are looking for anything shady, no. But she definitely knows Diana's name. And I want to say this first. There's not one person in this world who I can't stand that I'll have pictures of in my house, hang up on my wall. or don't like or dislike. And she had paintings that she purchased of Diana by herself hanged on her wall.
Wow.
So, well, she had pictures of all of them, her, Diana, and Florence, but I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't have pictures of a person I disliked or anything like that on my
wall. Right. Right.
So,
did you get the feeling that she did not like Diana?
No, never, actually. Never felt that way at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me let you go ahead. What did she tell you? Did she call you to the side and say, listen, let me give you the real story? Did she talk about Berry Gordy and Motown and all that?
I will say this. Mary Wilson, the Supreme, and Mary Wilson, I guess they are Auntie Mary, were two different people. When I was around her or talked to her on the phone, it kind of like was like I was talking to just Mary Wilson, the person, not the Supreme. So when she's telling me different stories of her youth, it's kind of just like a regular older person telling you about the good old days. But her stories of Diana were few. There was only like two or three, as she told me, that had Diana in it. And it wasn't like, let me tell you the key. It was more of like, I asked her a question. And, for example, Wilson Pickett. I had asked her a question about him. And she was telling me about a documentary they had together called Only the Strong Survive, if I'm not mistaken. It was Wilson Pickett, the documentary, Mary Wilson, Carla Thomas, and Rufus Thomas. And the reason why Wilson Pickett's name I came up with because I was asking her about Carla Thomas. Carla Thomas actually is a family friend. Rufus Thomas and Carla Thomas are family friends. And I was asking her about them. But she was telling me, she's like, I remember when we did this show, this interview, and Wilson Pickett picked up the story about us back in the day. And I said, is this a story about the car ride? And she said, yeah, you know exactly what we're talking about. So the story was, the story goes, Wilson Pickett said, we'd have Mary and Florence sit in the front, and Diana sit all the way in the back with her head down because she was so ugly. And Mary was like, everyone started laughing, and it made me feel awkward because it really wasn't funny, but it was just like now I'm in this space because we were already going through our own little thing publicly at the time. So for him to say that with me sitting right next to him made me look bad, or something made me look bad. And she was like, I just hope that she didn't see that and think like, oh, there she goes again. So that was one thing she said.
Interesting. Wow.
But more of the stories were about Florence, if anything.
But like I said, it didn't say what did she share about Florence? I mean, that is, to me, a huge, huge... Florence was the whole kind of the impetus for the whole Dreamgirls movie, really.
Right.
So what can you tell us that she shared?
Well, what she said was, I had mentioned something about... Well, she mentioned something about my weight. And I said, I'm going to do what Florence is going to tell y'all. Then maybe in but honey, fat is where it's at. And she started laughing, and she said, Florence, she sure was a character. And I said, I wish I could have met her. And she said, who? Diane? And I said, no. I said, well, I want to meet her too. But I said, no, Florence. And she said, oh, no, she was definitely somebody who would like. She was pressed before her like it is. Always.
And she called Diana Ross Diane always. Every TV interview I've ever seen, I've never seen her call Diana Ross Diana. She seemed to always call her Diane.
And what she told me wasn't about that particular situation, though. Well, her calling Diana Diane. It was about someone else. I can't remember who. Oh, Muhammad Ali. So she had said he would get mad at her for calling him Cassius. Because she was like, that's what I met him
as. Yes.
And they always
thought Cassius Clay, yes.
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 So when he changed his name to Muhammad, it was like, hey, Cassius. And he's like, Mary, stop calling me that.
Right. Wow. So Mary had a lot of famous friends, I imagine. Like that legendary fighter, Muhammad Ali, originally, you know, first started out Cassius Clay, of course. So did you get a chance to talk to her about some of these superstar collaborations and some of the things? And how did that, what might come to mind, like some of the things that she, because you guys were going to start working on projects. And I can't wait to talk to you about what were some of the things that she wanted to, or that you guys started working on together.
Well, I couldn't say this. We didn't start working on anything at the moment. What she was more so doing was training me. She kept saying that, I know what you want to do with your career. And she said, I know what you're going to do with your career and what you're going to do with your future, but I want to prepare you for it. And I'm going to get to that later. Because you know how you said about my grandma? How she made this happen with her dream or her vision. I feel like Mary knew something I didn't know. And I'll say that later on.
Yeah.
But, one of the stories she told me, it was the first night I was with her. And we had went out to dinner. She said, well, what do you want to eat? And I said, I'm open to anything. I honestly have no reservations on anything. So she said, well, what about Thai or Japanese? And I said, I've never had either. So you never had Japanese food? I said, mm-mm. So I said, well, we're probably going to go to this Japanese restaurant I really like. So we went to this Japanese restaurant. When we're sitting there, and she ordered, you know, she's like, well, you ever had sushi? And I said, no, just raw sushi makes me uncomfortable, the idea of it. And she laughed, and she said, well, they have cooked sushi also. I said, okay, I'll try that. So she got me a thing to tempura sushi and some type of, like, vegetable sushi. So she got me both of them to try. And then she gave me a piece of her sushi also to try her sushi. I can't remember what she had. And we're just sitting there talking. And she slides me a $100 bill, and she says, well, this is your, you know, first payment or whatever. It really wasn't a payment. It was more so just to make sure I had got around the city. And I had, you know, some money in the city until I had got paid. So we're sitting
there. It sounds like you were just excited to be in the mix of things.
Yes, and I just was in awe. Like, I'm trying to eat my food, and I just noticed little things about her that we had in common. Like, I'm sitting there, I hate when I'm sitting in front of someone and I'm chewing my food so I cover my mouth. That's the same. She did the same thing. She pulled her bank card out to pay, and we had the same bank. And I said, well, you have Bank of America? And she said, yeah, I have Bank of America. She said, and I said, well, that's the same bank I have. She said, they're a really good bank. I said, I wouldn't use them for business, though, but they're a really good bank to have. So, you know.
Wow.
That was something that we had connected on. So I'm just like sitting there just kind of like in shock. Like, I couldn't even eat my food because I just was in shock.
And well, you were sitting with a real life dream girl.
Yes. And I said, I'm sorry. I don't want to sound like I am one of these excited fans, but I have to say this is so surreal for me because something I thought I dreamed about since I was a kid, and it's actually happening. I'm sitting here eating sushi with Mary Wilson. And she got it laying
wow.
And she covered her mouth while she was chewing. And she swallowed, and she goes, well, you know, I understand. That's all she said. And then I had asked her, I said, well, is there any celebrity that you had ever been around that you just felt starstruck around, whether it was the first time meeting or whatever? And she said, only one celebrity. She said, this celebrity
from the first time they met in the 60s to the day they passed away. I want to say that she
Elvis Presley.
And
oh, no.
In the early 70s.
Ella Fitzgerald? Who?
One more guess, and I'll tell you.
Oh, okay. Let's see. You said it was a female back
a
in
female,
the 60s.
Female actress, singer. Yes.
The only one I could think of was Judy Garland.
Mm-mm.
Okay, I give her.
She passed away in the, I want to say in the 2000s.
She passed away in the 2000s. Diane Carroll, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Lena Horne.
Lena, oh, that should have been one of the top of my list. Yeah, of course. Lena Horne, yeah, she fits the bill. She would make me nervous, you know. Absolutely. Lena Horne, another legend. We're talking about, you know, just Stormy Weather, her big song. Just real amazing. She was across the board, had talent that spread across the board. And just a lovely lady, very talented lady. So, yes, I could get that. Wow. Well, aren't you lucky to, just to have Mary Wilson, superstar singer of the Supremes, telling Nicholas Stiles all of these wonderful tidbits? Now, I do have one question for you on that subject. What about the movie Dreamgirls? You mentioned it early on at the top of our wonderful talks today, but what can you tell us? Did she ever mention the movie Dreamgirls or Jennifer Hudson or Jennifer Holliday for that much or anybody?
To me, no. To me, no. Well, I know she was really good friends with Shirley Ralph.
Oh, she still
Shirley
remained
Ralph
friends with Shirley Ralph.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Who played the Diana part in the Broadway version
of
Dreamgirls. Right, right. The original Dina Jones. Well, yes, we know our research here at Hair Radio. So I tell you, which is amazing. Yes, well, you guys know Shirley Ralph. She went on to star in Brandy. And, of course, Brandy was on the cover of our Upscale magazine just a couple months ago. I just think there's a full circle thing going on here. I think it's amazing. And what a remarkable story. And, again, if you've just joined us, if you're just tuning in to the Hair Radio Morning Show, I'm having an amazing conversation this morning with Mr. Nicholas Stiles, who is recalling this amazing journey that he has, I think it was a life-changing journey, supporting, yes, and being the assistant to the one and only superstar, legendary music icon artist of the Supremes. We're talking about Mary Wilson. I mean, the Supremes, you have to understand, really the most successful female group of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Of all time. And, yeah, and just so many different things. They led the way on style. They taught the world about style. They opened up so many doors. Professionally and otherwise, they were just amazing. I mean, you know, when you think of it. And, you know, so we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I want to kind of talk now about some of the, you know, and I think this is going to be a little bit of the hard part because I want to talk about what happened, you know, how all of this came to kind of a sad end. And so you're working, you're doing all this wonderful good stuff. How did the conversation come about that you were going to travel to her home out in Las Vegas right before all of this happened that she passed? What was the crux of that conversation?
Well, first I had to call my cousin. My cousin had offered me earlier that year, so this was November 2021, and in January of 2021, and it's kind of like it's kind of like you said, full circle, because in January of 2021.
Oh, okay.
And then November 2020, not 2021.
Oh.
A And yes, it kind of like full circle, because in January of 2021, that's when I moved to Vegas. But in January 2020, my cousin had offered me kind of like to come stay with him in Vegas. He was like, you know, hey, cuz, he's like, I see that you're doing drag, and he was like, you're really good. He's like, I think that, you know, you should move to Vegas, and you can come stay with me. I'm not going to charge you anything. You know, he's like, I really want you to come out here and do drag, perform. I said, oh, I'll think about it. Moving anywhere wasn't anywhere in my mind. Well, it was, but my bank account said otherwise. So I, you know, wasn't planning on moving anywhere. So when November 2020 came and I get this email from Mary Wilson, the first thing I could think of to do was call my cousin. And I called him and I told him, I said, hey, Mary Wilson from the Supremes just offered me a job in Vegas to come be her assistant. Can I come stay with you? Is that offer still on the table? He said, yeah. He's like, you know, I have a roommate now, but other than that, he's like, if my roommate's cool with it, I definitely don't mind. I said, okay. So I called up Mary, and I said, hey, I saw your email, and if you need me to come to Vegas, I can do that. When do you need me to come? And I kind of just jumped the gun. She was like, no, 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 you don't have to come tomorrow. You can kind of slow down. And started laughing. And I had said, well, we can, she said, we can start from here and then, you know, transition you to Vegas going into the following year, which was 2021. And I said, okay, I'm fine with that because it gives me enough time to, like, you know, save up my money and get everything in order.
Get things together, right.
I had an apartment here. I had, we have the best paying job in the world, but I had a job, you know.
I had
things here. So I would have to figure out, you know, my lease and all that. You know, because my lease would have to be cut early to move to Vegas. So
wow.
I had to figure all that stuff out. And like I said, I just have to be saved. I only had $20 when I moved to when I got to Vegas.
Wow.
I told her, and she said, okay. So then our next conversation, she had asked, she said, well, what was your savings? Let me just say something about that. And I said, well, about maybe about $2,500 if I can get that, you know, in from now to January, maybe, because I'm thinking that if I can have it by January, I can leave in January. She said, okay. She said, well, I hope you know, once you get out here, you don't have to worry about anything. I'll make sure you're taken care of all the way. And I said, okay. And being that she kind of kept her word throughout the years of her being my mentor, I thought that that was what's going to happen. You know, once I got out there, I'd be taken care of. And when I did get there, it seemed as if that was what the plan was. She asked me again after I got there, well, what was I expecting? And I told her, $1,500 a month. I felt like if I'm going to be traveling with you, $1,500, I'm sure those costs of me traveling would be taken care of, not out of my pocket. And she said, yeah, that's true. I'm sure you have your flight and hotel and food and all that taken care of if we're going somewhere. I said, okay. And then she said, so here, $1,500 a month would, you know, make sure I have a car at least when I get back to Vegas. So that if I needed to, you know, go pick them part-time, you know, in our off-season or whatever, that I could do that to make a little bit extra money.
Well, and she agreed to the $1,500 a month.
Yeah. And she did. She said if not, I'll just give you, I'll just buy you a car.
Yeah, because that's a steal, $1,500 a month. Oh gosh. Wow. How awesome is that?
Yeah, I personally didn't think that was a lot, because if we're being honest, that's a little bit underwhelming at this present time.
Yes, and that's not a lot at all. That's actually, that's what I mean. That is an amazing thing that you were going to assist her for that. But so now this is towards, we're coming down to like, what was that, like November, like December, January of 2021, I think we're kind of digging into.
Yeah. We're January 15th is the day I left Vegas, to go to Vegas.
Okay, so you left on January 15th, Dr. King's birthday, actual birthday it is.
It's also the day Diana Ross left the Supremes.
Wow, is that correct? Wow.
So I kind of set that around that, actually. I did that strategically. But
wow.
January 15th, actually, the day that Diana, January 15th, 1970.
So on the 15th, you went out to Vegas. Now, so tell us what happened from there. You started working for her. And so what happened from there? You worked for her. What did your work consist of? Did you go over there every morning and have meetings? Did you stay over at night? Were you guys playing Supreme songs all day? What were those meetings about?
So what we did was a lesson, what we agreed upon. Okay, let me start about the first day, the very first day. Because the very first day set the tone for the next 3 weeks. I go to her house. This was the day after we had sat down and had like a little like brunch together, kind of like a formal meeting in Vegas to discuss what she would expect from me and all that. But the first day at her house, she told me to come around 11 o'clock. So I actually kind of late. I was there at 11:05, only because of the Uber. But she said 11 o'clock, you know, if you want, you could be at my house between 11 and 12. But I was thinking that someone said 11 first. I assumed she wasn't there at 11. So I get to her house at 11:05, and she opens the door. And she's like, she's kind of like covering her head. She's like, I'm sorry. She was like, I usually don't let people see me without my wig on.
Folks, we're back, of course, live right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Again, you have been listening this morning on, and we're again broadcasting live Friday, January 14th, it's a little bit before 9 o'clock as we kind of start to wind down today's broadcast. Just want to remind you folks out there, listen, you have not heard anything yet. You don't want to miss part two of this very, very special interview that we have been broadcasting this morning with Mr. Nicholas Files. I am so excited to share this with you. Tuesday morning, we're going to be live. Tuesday morning, and it's a huge show packed from the beginning to the end. So Tuesday morning at 6:30, tune in at 6:30 New York time, 5:30 in the morning Central, folks, for part to the conclusion of this incredible story. I have to first say, Nicholas goes into a great bit of detail. So Tuesday morning, if you can't really take it, folks, this is probably something you'll want to kind of do bite-sized pieces of, because he really goes into great detail. You'll find out what the last conversation that they had. You'll also find out what happened when he discovered that, in fact, Mary had passed away. And, again, how the world found out. Lots to unpack. Again, Tuesday morning, part two of this incredible story. Again, I'm Kerry Hines. I want to thank you guys. Next week, it's an amazing plethora of superstars, and folks will be joining us. That very same Tuesday, it's packed. We've got Dr. Yolanda Ragland, who will be here live from FixYourFeet.com. She's an entrepreneur, but most importantly, she is a podiatrist. She's an actual surgeon. She'll be with us talking quite a bit. She goes through a whole bunch of wonderful good stuff. That's Tuesday morning at 7:30, so following part two. And then, of course, Vet Talk Radio brings up at 8:30 and rounds us out 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central with Michael Hopkins and Michael's Angels, you guys know. Wednesday, we have the amazing Shakora. She'll be back. We've got some surprises in store. We also have our astrologer, Helena, will be with us next week. We still have tributes for Dr. King. We have so much going on, and it's just been my honor and pleasure to have you guys on today and all of that. Let me try to end with one of my favorite songs that I just discovered, which is Eric Cooper did the remix. It's called Red Hot, and this is really quite a nice song. So I'll see you back here next week, folks, for more of the Hair Radio Morning Show. Don't forget to visit my website at hairadio.com. I'll try to put something and some tidbits for next week there for you. So definitely go to hairradio.com. If not, get there this afternoon. You'll have a special message just from me to you with more of this incredible interview. Here's Mary, Red Hot.